I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So this one's Mark chapter 2, verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'"
Thanks, Beck. Can I pray again as we come to God's word? Father, it's a warm morning and humid, and I'm sure many of us are tired and weary. We need rest. And as we come to think about this subject of rest, we pray that you would really open our hearts to hear what you're saying. I have a sense this is a message many of us need to hear, maybe a subject in which many of us need to make changes. So please speak clearly. Please would you work in spite of me and through me. May the things I say that are unhelpful be forgotten, but those that are true and of you sink deep into people's hearts. And may you work by your Spirit to bring change to people's lives for the glory of your name. Amen. So, as I said, we're thinking about this subject of Sabbath rest in this series on work and rest. Last week we thought about work, we thought about the dignity of work, the fact that we are made in the image of God and God is a worker, and so we work in reflection of him. But we're also created to rest. We read in the creation account that God worked 6 days and then rested. And so again, as those who bear his image, we are to rest. Now, I guess we'll all have different relationships to work. Some of us may be in full-time employment, others part-time, some of us may be unemployed, some wish they were in work, some may wish they could retire soon. We'll all have different relationships, but I reckon probably in Adelaide, maybe in most main cities in the Western world, the biggest issue is that of rest, Sabbath rest, the discipline of rest, getting Sabbath rest into our lives. I reckon there are a lot of reasons, particularly in Western culture, in modern society, why this is such an issue, why there's such a lack of rest. Let me mention four kind of features or trends to modern society. Firstly, job insecurity. I think there's probably never been a time in history when jobs are so insecure. You know, the days where you got a job for life are mostly a thing of the past. And so there's an insecurity and an anxiety about our work. Secondly, I reckon salary discrepancy has grown. So those at the top of companies maybe used to earn five or six times what those at the bottom did. Now it's, I don't know, 20, 30, 50 times. And so those at the top are earning huge amounts of money, and there's great expectation on you to put in very long hours. And if you're unprepared to do that, well, there's a queue of people waiting to take your job. Whereas those at the bottom of the company are having to work multiple jobs just to make ends meet. And so wherever you are, there's this pressure to overwork. Thirdly, technology. Technology means we can now work anywhere, which means there's a great danger that we work everywhere. There's no place that is kind of removed from work. You only have to reach across to your smartphone to get to your emails and do some more work. Fourthly, probably now more than ever, work is the thing that, for many people, defines them. Whereas in the past, often your job was just something that you did, and maybe you found your identity more in your relationship, in your family, or in your community. Now there's more and more pressure on our work, on our jobs and careers, to be the thing that gives us our identity, our sense of worth and value. And so there's great pressure on work to be ultimately fulfilling. So for all these reasons, I reckon in our modern context, there is great pressure to overwork and a great danger that we lack rest. But the modern situation isn't unique. It's not like the kind of Sabbath was brought in simply for 21st century Western society. There seems to be an abiding human need, an abiding human problem. There's something else going on. So I've got some points for the talk this morning, and the first is really the main point where we'll spend most of our time, and then the others flow on from that and get shorter as we go. The first point is this, that Sabbath is about resting from the need to prove yourself. Sabbath is about resting from the need to prove yourself. Judith Shulevitz is a writer in the New York Times, and she wrote an article some years ago about the Sabbath. She had a Jewish upbringing herself, but had kind of turned away from that upbringing, but then found later in life, she sensed the kind of symptoms of lack of Sabbath. And she writes a very good article, and in part of it says this about the Sabbath. Not only did drudgery give way to festivity, family gatherings, and occasional worship, but the machinery of self-censorship shut down, stilling the eternal inner murmur of self-reproach. It's quite wordy, but let me read to it again. She's saying that the Sabbath, it was partly about feasting, family together, worship, but also the machinery of self-censorship shut down, stilling the eternal inner murmur of self-reproach. She's saying that there's a deeper rest that we need, not just resting from the activity of work, but rest from this eternal inner murmur of self-reproach. The inner voice that says to us, you're not enough. You're not worth anything. You need to work harder. You need to prove yourself. That inner murmur of self-reproach, she says that the Sabbath is meant to combat that. You know, sleep is a fascinating thing. I remember reading an article in the National Geographic some years ago. And sleep experts talk about the different kind of cycles of sleep that we go through, different types of sleep, and it's true, isn't it, that we need deep sleep. It's not just about quantity of time asleep, but depth of sleep. So you could get, 6 1-hour naps, and you could say, hey, I've slept for 6 hours, but you'd probably still be fairly fatigued. You need the length of time that you enter into the deep sleep that brings recovery and refreshment to body and mind. Well, in the same way as we need deep sleep, so we need this deep rest. This deep rest for our souls. Yes, we need to take time off, but we also need rest from what Tim Keller calls the work under the work. The work beneath the work. That need to prove yourself. And that work of striving to prove yourself, to kind of find your worth, it is never done. It's never enough. You know, you work harder and harder to try and make a name for yourself and feel significant, but it's never enough. It's never done. You might have a good day, or you get a measure of satisfaction, but what about tomorrow? We need rest from that. We need the deep rest of the soul. And without that deeper rest, no amount of time off or vacations or leisure time will really refresh us. A journalist, Ben Nugent, wrote about his struggle with this. He wrote about his obsession with writing and kind of writing well. And he said this in an article: "When good writing was my only goal, I made the quality of my work the measure of my worth." Do you hear that? I made the quality of my work the measure of my worth. Isn't that where so many of us are at? The quality of our work, whether it's in an office or a school or in the home, the quality of our work is the measure of our worth. It's how we measure our significance and value. And this is what we introduced last week, if you remember, when we talked about the danger of work. We talked about the dignity of work, how all kinds of work are important as ways to serve God and other people. But the danger of work is that we make work too important, that it becomes the thing that we look to define us, to give us that sense of worth and value. And we need rest from that. If we don't get that rest, then our work threatens to destroy us. We'll work ourselves into the ground. Now, in Mark chapter 2, that passage that we had read, the disciples are picking grain, and the religious leaders pick Jesus up on this. They say, "Your disciples are doing what is unlawful." Now, this is not actually, they're not breaking the Old Testament law, they're not breaking the fourth commandment in Exodus 20, but the religious leaders had kind of defined work, and they'd come up with 39 categories of work, and this was one of them, reaping. And they saw what the disciples was doing was reaping. And so they say it's unlawful. They're breaking, if not the Old Testament law, they're breaking the halak, the Jewish law of the time. And Jesus' response is quite striking. He doesn't say, "Look, guys, that Sabbath law, all that keeping of the Sabbath, that's not over. You know, there's no more need for Sabbath because I've come." He doesn't say that. He says, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, he's the fulfillment of the Sabbath. He doesn't abolish Sabbath completely. He's the fulfillment of it. He's basically saying, "I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the Lord of rest. I'm the Lord of rest. I'm the one you need to come to if you need rest." And maybe for us this morning, if we're feeling in need of rest, particularly that deeper rest, well, we need to go to Jesus. And if we're someone who's already gone to Jesus and we're still lacking that rest, then it means we haven't fully appreciated or grasped what we have in Jesus. Now, how does that work? How does Jesus provide that deeper rest that we need? Well, back in Genesis, which is really where these talks have come out of, our studies in the early chapters of Genesis. In Genesis 2, it says that God rested. You know, in 6 days, he finished his work of creation, and then God rested from all the work that he had done. What does that mean, that God rested? You know, God is the omnipotent, untiring God. He doesn't need to sleep. What does it mean that he rested? What do you think? In what way did God rest? He enjoyed it. Yeah. Any other thoughts? He delighted in what he made, yeah. When you read the creation account, there's this repeated phrase, isn't there? At the end of every day of creation, it says God saw what he had made and said, it's good. And then at the very end, after he's completed the whole lot, he says, very good. He's satisfied in what he's done. He's satisfied in his work. He's enjoying it. He's delighting it in it. It's a job well done. It's good. Very good. That's what it means to rest, to be utterly satisfied with what's been done. See, the only way that you can kind of put your doing down is if you know that the job has been completed, the job is done well. Then you can really rest. Turn on in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 11. Actually, sorry, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 4. The writer here is talking about the gospel. He's talking about believing in Jesus. And he says, chapter 4, verse 9, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his." Anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. So we're being invited into Sabbath rest. And the writer says, when we enter that rest, we get to rest from our work in the same way that God did from his. So just as God was able to sit back and say, the job is done, it's good, there's no more work to do, so we are able to sit back and be satisfied, be at peace, be at rest and say, job done, complete. I don't need to strive anymore. I don't need to prove myself. It's complete. It's done. Now, how is that possible? Jesus says he's the Lord of the Sabbath. He says in Matthew 11, come to me and I'll give you rest for your souls. It's here in Hebrews 4. Those who enter God's rest believing in Jesus, they're able to rest from their works. How does that work? Well, Jesus is saying, it's only when you come to me and make me the meaning of your life, find your identity in me, that you'll experience and get the rest that you need. Think about Jesus at the end of his life in the garden as he contemplates the cross. Think about him hanging on the cross. Do you see Jesus in anguish? See him writhing, struggling. See him crying out. This is a man not at rest. Jesus is experiencing utter turmoil and anguish and restlessness. And he's doing that so that when he died, he could say, it is finished. He could say, it has been completed. The work has been done. What's been done? What's been completed? Everything necessary for salvation. Everything necessary to make you and me fully acceptable to God. Fully approved by the Father. Jesus came and lived the life that we should have lived perfectly. And then he died the death we deserve to die so that you and I could have rest. so that we could sit back and know that it's finished, that everything that needs to be done has been done, that we don't need to strive to earn our acceptance, that we don't need to prove ourselves anymore because Jesus has done it all, that we don't need to work ourselves into the ground because Jesus worked himself into the ground for us. And so the Christian can say, I can rest, I can be at peace, not because of my work, because I've accomplished everything, but because of Jesus' work, because he's accomplished everything. And so we can start each and every day of our lives knowing that we already have a perfect record before God. Even before we get to our to-do list, everything that needs to be done is done. And we're fully accepted and loved already. The only set of eyes that you have to prove yourself to already says, this is my beloved child with whom I am well pleased. I'm well pleased. I'm satisfied. You should be too. One of my favorite movies is Chariots of Fire. And it was only recently someone pointed out to me, it's about the only movie out there about the Sabbath. I don't know if you've seen it, if you kind of realized that, but it's really a movie about the Sabbath. If you haven't seen it, there are two main characters, Harold Abrahams and Eric Liddell. They're both British runners, and they're kind of working towards running in the Olympics in Paris in the 1920s. And these two characters are very different. Harold Abrahams is driven. You know, his running is his life. It's his way of proving himself. He says just before the 100-meter final, I have 10 seconds to justify my entire existence. 10 seconds to justify my entire existence. The quality of my work is the measure of my worth. I've got to win. I need to win to justify my existence. Eric Liddell's very different. He's a Christian, and he's committed to the practice of Sabbath. And when he learns that one of the heats for his race is on a Sunday, he says, I can't run. Now, it's not so much because he's being legalistic, but it's because he's so secure in who he is. He doesn't need to run. He doesn't need to compete in order to justify himself or prove who he is and his worth. He can give up even his Olympic dreams. Now, of course, he does get to run in another race and he wins gold. But he's kind of free from that. He's at rest. Abrahams does win, gets the gold medal. But if you've seen the movie, there's then this anticlimax. He wins, but it's not enough. He's not really satisfied by that. Eric Liddell's free. He's at rest. If we make our work the measure of our worth, it'll never be enough. We'll work ourselves into the ground. But if we come to Jesus, if we find our identity in him, then we can rest every day. We can work out of a place of rest, knowing that God looks on us and says, it's good. Henry's okay. He is acceptable in my sight. It's done. It's finished. There's nothing more to be done. You're my child, and I'm well pleased. So can you see, Sabbath rest is not just about a religious ritual of taking a day off each week. Ultimately, Sabbath rest is about knowing that you're loved and accepted and you don't need to prove yourself anymore. It's resting from that work beneath the work. Now, that was the longest point. The others really follow on from there. And you've got to get that first one in place. Otherwise, any kind of practice of Sabbath in your life is not really going to work. You've got to get that deep soul rest. You've got to come to Jesus. But secondly, Sabbath is an act of liberation. Sabbath is an act of liberation, or a declaration of freedom. There you go, a declaration of freedom. Did you know, in the Old Testament, there were two times when the Ten Commandments are listed out. One is in Exodus 20, which we read some of. The other comes in the book of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is two Greek words, deuteros and nomos, second law. It's the second telling of the law. And in Deuteronomy 5, you get the Ten Commandments listed again. It's exactly the same, apart from one notable difference. I'll read it to you. The Sabbath command is exactly the same, but at the end, it says this: "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." So in Exodus, the command to keep the Sabbath day was linked to creation. Keep the Sabbath day because God rested on the seventh day. He blessed that day and made it holy. In Deuteronomy, the Sabbath command is linked to God's rescue, redemption. Take a day off because you were slaves in Egypt, but God brought you out and he rescued you. Now, why do you think keeping the Sabbath is linked to slavery? What is going on there? What's the link between Sabbath and slavery? Why is Sabbath a declaration of freedom? Deb?
A slave doesn't get to rest.
A slave doesn't get to rest, yeah. Lindsay? You don't have a choice when you're a slave. That's right. A slave doesn't get to take a day off. A slave just has to work, and the value of the slave is simply measured by their outputs, what they produce. You know, the quality of their work, or at least the quantity of their work. To take a day off is a declaration of freedom. Just think about it. If you don't rest, you are a slave. If you don't rest, you're a slave. This may well be a problem for a number of us. Those of us who can't say no. Always too busy. You know, always rushing around, working hard, never just resting. We're slaves, not to Pharaoh, but maybe we're slaves to our own needs, our own need to prove ourselves. Or maybe we're slaves to our company's demands, or we're slaves to our family's hopes or our culture's expectations. We're slaves. To take a Sabbath is a declaration of freedom. It's saying, I'm not a slave. I'm not defined by my work. I'm not defined by how much I achieve. Now, I reckon this is significant. I don't know if you're tracking with me, but most Christians believe that because of Jesus, we don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore. You know, we're not bound by those Old Testament laws and rituals. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. He's fulfilled it. True rest is found in him, so we're free from the requirement to keep the Sabbath. Now, that's kind of true. But in the passage in Mark 2, Jesus doesn't say that the Sabbath is abolished. He seems to think that practicing Sabbath is still needed. But when we have that kind of attitude to the Sabbath, we see it as something bad, don't we? I know this has been true of me. It's kind of, you know, that's part of the legalistic, and certainly for the Pharisees it was. It's kind of this ritual that we're free from now. It's bad, it's a bit restricting, demanding. But Jesus says, it's good. The Sabbath is good. He says to the Pharisees, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Pharisees had turned it into a legalistic practice, but the real meaning of the Sabbath was good news. Sabbath was made for people. It was a gift. It was to be a blessing. It's a day off. You know, imagine you were a slave, working 7 days a week, and then you get set free, and you get to work for someone who says, I want you to take a day off each week.
You must take a day off. It's a good boss, right? Who makes his servants take a day off. Sabbath is a declaration of our freedom from the tyranny of work. It's true that you won't find a New Testament command to keep the Sabbath. And so if you don't practice Sabbath, you're not doing anything sinful, but I reckon you're doing something really stupid. You're kind of going against this order that God has set up in his world, this order of 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. 6 days of work, 1 day. There's this rhythm of work and rest, and if you go against it, you're probably going to end up unhealthy. And I think we need to change our attitude to the Sabbath. I know I do. Sabbath is not a burden. It's a blessing. It's a declaration of the freedom that we have. Let's move on. The last 2 points are quick. Sabbath is an act of trust. Practicing Sabbath is a way of saying that my life and my prosperity is not ultimately in my hands. It's not ultimately dependent on me and how hard I work. Actually, my life and my prosperity are in God's hands. I'm not the one who keeps the world turning. I'm not the one who ultimately, you know, provides food for the family or money to live. It is God's. In the Old Testament, the requirement to keep the Sabbath even held during harvest time. You know, God's explicit. Even during harvest, you need to practice Sabbath. Now, I don't know, some of you have some farming experience. From my very little knowledge, if you're a farmer, harvest time is crazy, isn't it? You know, you work all day, every day, because you have to, because, like, it's harvest time and there's so much to do. And yet God says, even during harvest, you need to practice Sabbath. Now you can imagine people say, oh, God, you know, yes, I get it. I'll do that a bit later when things are less busy, but now I just need to work. Now what attitude is that betraying? It's kind of, it's down to me. I need to harvest the crops. You know, the livelihood of my family is in my hands and my ability to work. And God says, no, trust me. Even during harvest, take a day to remember that I'm God, not you. I'm the one who keeps the world spinning. I'm the one who provides for you and your family. Sabbath is an act of trust. And so we need to remember the fruitfulness of our ministry, the success of our work, whether this deal goes through or not, is not at the end dependent on the number of hours that we work. And so we take a day off as a way of saying, these things are in your hands, God, and I trust you. It's not an excuse for laziness, but it is a rebuke to self-trust. Practicing Sabbath may well mean that you're less productive in the short term, but in the long term, you may well see greater productivity because you're healthy and balanced. You're not having to take all those days off from stress. Sabbath is an act of trust. Finally, Sabbath is for worship of God. In the Exodus list of commands, it says, 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. A Sabbath to the Lord your God. It's a day devoted to the Lord. It's for the Lord. It's a day to enjoy him, to enjoy his work and celebrate what he's done in creation and redemption. It's a day to praise him for his finished work. Sabbath is not just about turning away from our work, but turning to the Lord. Remembering who he is, getting to know him better, enjoying him more. Do you know, if you practice a weekly Sabbath and you make that a day that you spend with the Lord, a day that you are refreshed in him, you kind of devote additional time to pressing in to know God better. If you do that over a lifetime, depending how long you live, that's going to add like 11 years of time with the Lord. 77 years, 1 in 7, maybe you live longer. 11 years of extra time with the Lord. Just think how awesome that would be. The heart of what we need in Sabbath is to refresh ourselves with God, to celebrate His work, to remember that we rest not on the fruit of our labors, but the fruit of His labor, to remember what He's done for us, to remember who we are, not slaves, but dearly loved children. Practicing Sabbath is actually something that I reckon requires effort and discipline. We need to train ourselves to establish good habits. And it would be great to talk together about how we work this out. I guess few of us are doing it perfectly, but we can encourage one another in doing it better. I know this is an area where I need to repent and grow. I've generally been good at taking a day off, not working, but I need to grow in making that day off a Sabbath, a day in which there's worship, and a day in which I'm finding that deeper rest in God, that rest from the work under the work. Kari introduced a phrase to us some weeks ago. I think it was that we need to step into peace. Is that right? I reckon that's kind of what we need to do. If we can practice Sabbath, whether that's one day off or it's odd times through the week, when we have Sabbath time, we're stepping into peace. We're stepping into a place where we down tools and we sit back and rest in what God has done for us. Rest in the promises of the gospel. The only one in whose eyes you need to prove yourself already says to you, it's good, it's done, it's finished. You're my child, whom I love. With you, I'm well pleased. You can rest in that. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the great work of salvation that Jesus has accomplished for us. Thank you that He cried out from the cross, it is finished. We believe that. We believe that He has done everything necessary to save us, to justify us, to make us fully acceptable before Your throne. We pray that You'd help us to grasp it more deeply, to step into it, to step into that rest, into that peace, to find that deep rest for our souls, rest from the work under the work. Pray that You'd help us to work this out, to find healthy rhythms of Sabbath in our lives. And we pray that Your Spirit would lead us and help us as we discuss together what that might look like for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.